Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
How many of you have ever received an invitation to something that was very significant in your life? You can kind of think back and remember an invitation that you received that really was a milestone in your life. How many can remember that? Anybody? Nobody? Could you hear me? Okay, there's one, two. Maybe you're kind of thinking about it. Let me ask it one more time while you're still thinking. How many of you have received an invitation at some point in your life that was significant? There we go. There's a few more. You just had to think about it a moment or two. I was thinking this morning, Sharon had mentioned a conversation with her mother talking about an invitation that she and her husband had received some years ago, actually more than once, and that was an invitation to go to Washington, D.C. and to meet the president and his wife. I believe, did they meet two or three? Two? Two different occasions. They had the opportunity to fly to Washington, D.C. and be in a reception with the president. It had, in conjunction with his work, he had excelled and worked for National Federation of Independent Businesses, and he had excelled in his sales, I guess you would call it, gaining members, and received this invitation to go and be in a reception, meet the president, and they also had pictures of Sharon's mom and stepdad both with a couple of different presidents. I believe it was Nixon and Ford, maybe. Here we go. So it's been a few years back. Significant invitations that come into our lives. I can't imagine that when they received that invitation that they would have turned it down. Nah, we're busy. Huh? I'm always amazed, and you know, I probably shouldn't get into this, but I'm going to anyway. I'm always amazed at these ball teams and stuff like that, that when they win a championship and have the opportunity to go to the White House and have a reception and meet the president, all of that. And so then some who let all these other issues enter in. I was thinking about that as I was pondering this message and thinking about, you know, to tell your grandchildren, yes, I had the opportunity to go to the White House and have dinner and meet the president, but I decided not to because it wasn't politically correct thing to do. Compare that to, I went to the White House. I met the president. Your grandchildren wouldn't care who the president was, wouldn't care what their politics was or anything else about it, but they would realize that you had received a very significant invitation and you accepted it. Hello? This morning I want to talk to you about one of the most incredible invitations that anyone can receive. And unfortunately, the scripture shows that some turn that invitation down. Jesus, again, speaking to the people in parables, remembering once again that parables, really the full meat of a parable is taken as a whole. The individual pieces often have direct representation. I'll give you a couple of those in a moment. But the parable is actually taken as a whole. So this is a parable of invitation. Chapter 22. To fully understand this and understanding the context, I'm going to read verse number 43 of chapter 21. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, speaking to the people of the Jewish people, and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Kind of park that in the back of your mind as then we begin to study in chapter 22, beginning in verse number 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come." Let me identify some of the people here. First of all, the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, not much allegory there. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. The king represents the Father, our heavenly Father, God the Father. The Son is Jesus, representing Jesus. John the Baptist referred to Jesus as the bridegroom in John chapter 3, verse 29. So there is an identification here in this passage of Jesus the Son. Also, the wedding banquet. Now, this is a little bit fuller than perhaps the immediate appearance would be, because the wedding banquet here is a glorious feast that God has prepared for those who will come into his kingdom. It may well have a reflection upon the wedding supper of the Lamb, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a couple of moments, but I believe it's broader than that, in that this banquet would be a feast, if you will, of divine mercy. A feast of divine mercy. At this banquet, there's pardon for sin. There's favor with God. There's peace of conscience. There's exceeding and great promises. There's access to the throne of grace. There's the comforts of the Holy Spirit. And there's a well-grounded assurance of eternal life. Wow, now that's a banquet. I think of the words of Solomon where he says, brings me into his banqueting table and his banner over me is love. Huh? That's what salvation is all about. That's what becoming a Christian is really all about, is coming into the banquet, if you will, of the Lord. So let's look at, with that in the context, let's look at how this first invitation comes forth there in verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come." Now it is said that in the East, that it was fashionable, if you will, to send a preliminary invitation to a banquet. Now, this wouldn't be even unheard of in our day, to say, "We're going to get married. I want you to come when we get married." Not giving a date, not giving a time, because that's yet to be established, but to extend the invitation to someone that you cared about, "I want you to come. Get ready. Be ready." It could mean that you would go out and start looking for that dress that you were going to wear to the wedding, or that suit or whatever. But preparation would be in the works. That's this invitation. And it would have its parallel, if you will, to the prophets coming, really all the way back to Moses, telling that Jesus was coming. The invitation was going out to the people of Israel, saying that a Messiah is coming. They knew that because they had heard for generation upon generation upon generation that God the Father was going to send the Messiah to Israel. How many knew that? Okay? It says the servants were sent out with the invitation to the banquet. It was most definitely a reference to the prophets of old who had prophesied of his coming. The prophets told of the day when the Messiah would come to Israel and the people were encouraged to watch for him. No specific date, no specific time, but there's coming, the Messiah is coming. It's going to be a day when the Lord is going to be among you. And Jesus said they ignored, or the scripture says, but they refused to come. They ignored the invitation. Again, this group can easily be identified as the Jewish people. With great evidence, show that they simply ignored the warnings that were sent to them. Simply ignored the prophets who came and preached among them. This group can also be identified as the called, if you will, of all generations. The Lord has, since the very beginning, since the fall of man, has reached out for men and women to come, to return to him in communion and in fellowship. You can see it in the lives of the patriarchs. You can see it in the Psalms. You can hear it in the Psalms. You can see it through the prophets as God has reached out to his people to compel them to come in. Invitation after invitation after invitation. Come. It would also apply to all of those who have been exposed to the gospel and who have simply ignored it. That brings it on up to our day. Get a hold of this for a moment, if you would. The God of all creation desires to be in communion with men and women. Even though man has rejected him and filled their life and their existence with sin, God still wants communion with man and woman. It's amazing, isn't it? It would be like somebody harming you, hurting you desperately, and you're preparing for this glorious banquet where you're going to just shower people with all kinds of wonderful things. I won't ask you for an uplifted hand, but how many would put that person who has harmed you, your family, brought great hurt to you, and put them on the list? And said, I really want them to come and take part of my glorious celebration. Huh? How do you ignore God? How do you ignore the truth of the invitation that God has extended to mankind? We're seeing it. It's all around us. People are doing it all the time. Totally ignoring. You know, they say, we don't know if God exists. Look around you. Look at the beauty of creation. They will believe the flimsiest of quote unquote scientific evidence, but fail to just look up and realize. The Apostle Paul called attention to that. He said, because creation itself speaks of the power and the glory and the wonder of God. And this book, this glorious book, over and over and over again extends God's desire to man that he wants to be in a communion relationship with all mankind. If you wonder what that looks like, go back to the garden where he communed in the cool of the day. God came into the garden to commune with Adam and Eve. And they had that beautiful relationship until what? Until Adam and Eve rebelled. Did their own thing instead of God's thing. God still made a way. Even right there in the garden, began the work of redemption to bring mankind back to him. I want you to be in communion with me. So that's the first invitation. But look at the second invitation. Beginning at verse number 4. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention. They went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. And the king was enraged, and he sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Now look at this once again. More servants are sent out. So if the first invitation was the patriarchs and the prophets, who is the second group? Jesus begins to talk about his day. Men like John the Baptist who went forth calling people into the kingdom of God. Repent thee therefore and be converted. Come into the kingdom of God. Come into the banquet. And they killed him. But Jesus was also talking about himself and the disciples that were there with him who had gone from town to town to town. Banquet is ready. Meat's on the table. Everything is ready. Come and dine. It's kind of like when Jesus prepared that breakfast for the disciples there by the seashore. They'd been fishing all night, hadn't caught anything, remember? Boy, you're so quiet today. Makes it really difficult when you just kind of look at me. Scary, actually. I know some of you are carrying weapons. You think about that. You know, he's standing there and he says to them, he hadn't gone fishing, but he had fish. Everything was prepared, right on the fire, ready for them. Come, breakfast is ready. He not only told them where to find the fish on the other side of the boat, but that was really not the big point, because he would say in just a few moments, Peter, do you love me more than these? Okay? Banquet. Jesus had prepared a banquet. It was just, there was a literal sense, yes, he had prepared breakfast for them, but he had prepared and was giving them invitation to come and follow him and be part of the banquet. You know, the amazing part of this is Jesus was not only speaking of things that had already occurred, but he was speaking prophetically, because he was saying to them that that king, that father, if you will, seeing what they did to the servants, became enraged. Said he led them off and burnt down their city. History will tell you that in 70 AD, that's exactly what happened right there in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus was speaking prophetically that those who turned down his invitation, the invitation given by the glorious servant, Jesus. Imagine that. Jesus himself, the Son of God. Come on now. Think about that. Comes to you and says, come. I prepared a banquet for you. I've prepared a life for you that you'll never be alone ever again. I've prepared peace for you that is beyond understanding. I've prepared a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And when your journey is done in this life, I want you to realize you're not going to die, because you are simply going to come into my presence and live with me forever and forever and forever. And the life that you have in the future is greater than anything you've ever experienced in the past. And they killed him. what part of his invitation, what part of his message was so gruesome that they needed to kill him. And by the way, all of his followers as well. In other words, all the servants who had brought them invitation. What an invitation. To come into the presence of God. Obviously, the Jews are talked about here. But all those who have been recipients of the message of the gospel from a servant of the Lord who were too busy for spiritual things to have an impact upon their lives. I've got plans. I've got things that I'm doing. Things that are more important. I can't really commit right now. I really can't come to your banquet, Lord. I really can't enter into what you have because I've got a lot of things going on in my life. One to the field and one to their businesses. It just represents all the many excuses that people give of why they will not come in. Not now, Lord. Maybe when I'm old. I've heard it. When the Lord wants to give us the best life that we could possibly have right here, right now. That's what He's inviting us to. It's a banquet of blessing. It's a banquet of mercy. It's a banquet of grace. It is a banquet of provision. It is a banquet of joy and peace and everything you can ever imagine that is good. That's what God is inviting people to be a part of. So, you know, well, I can't get involved with that. You know, there's all kinds of hypocrites in the church and everything else. It's another excuse to turn away from the invitation of the Lord. He's calling us into relationship with Him. I said He's calling us into relationship with Him. The third invitation is found in verse number 8. He said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. The banquet is ready. Those who were invited, of course, that's speaking of the Jews. And he turned from the Jews to the Gentiles. Thank you, Lord. The Jewish people, by their relationship in relation to Abram, had a design upon their lives as being the chosen ones of God. But they rejected the invitation to come and dine, to come and take of the glories of the Lord. So he said, go out into the streets. Go out and find the lowliest of the lowly. Go on the street corners. Come on, folks, we know. We know what's on the street corners. Those who are homeless, those who are without, those who are empty and begging. He said, bring them in. I'll give them a place at my banqueting table. Anyone, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, my goodness. He threw open the doors. He said, come. Servant went out and gathered all the people they could find. This was all who would accept the invitation. And notice he says, both good and bad. There were some people who the world would say they're good people, and there were some that the world would say they're bad people. And he said, I'll take them both. They can come in and enjoy the mercy. Verse number 10 says, the wedding feast was filled with guests. Can I tell you this morning that the kingdom of heaven will be filled with the redeemed, some good, some bad, all who have accepted the invitation sent by the king and extended by his servants. Wow. Take a moment, would you? Close your eyes. Thank you, Lord, for sending the invitation. I thank you this morning for the servants who have carried the message through the ages to bring it to my home, to bring it to my life. I thank you, Lord, that you have opened the doors, that the doors are still open today. And the invitation is still going out. The banquet is still prepared. Everything is ready if we're willing to accept the invitation. Oh, Lord. Forgive us, Master, for where we so complicate the truth of your invitation. You said, ho, everyone who is thirsty, come to the water and drink. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I know that the enemy dispatches fear. The enemy wants to load us up with all of the busyness and all of the things that would steal the invitation from us. But oh God, help us this morning. All of us in this room and those that are listening online, I pray that we would realize that an invitation to a banquet of mercy has been extended to each and every one of us. And all we have to do is to say yes to the sacrifice of Jesus. To say yes to letting him be in charge of our lives. And we open the doors to an eternal life beyond belief. Thank you, Lord. I believe this morning it's important for us to finish this passage because it says, when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? And the man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Several historical things make note of the fact that at many of these banquets, wedding banquets, that they had prepared a garment for everyone to wear so that everybody at the feast would be on the same plane, rich and poor, no matter who they were, that everybody would be clothed the same. I see that in the kingdom of God. As we look in the line to the 19th chapter of Revelation, it says that Everyone there will be clothed in linen garments, which is the righteousness of the saints. You know, on that day, there won't be rich or poor. There's not going to be anything there. It's just going to be invited guests. We'll all come in, and we will all be dressed the same in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this parable, he notes that this individual had come in but did not have on the wedding garment, which in this case would be the righteousness of Christ. Many people today, just ask them, people that don't want anything to do with the Lord, the church, or anything else, ask them, where are you going to spend eternity? Well, I'm going to heaven. They've made plans, they're going to be in heaven. Man upstairs is going to make sure of it. Huh? You have to actually be talking to people about spiritual things to hear this. But it does unfold in that way. Oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, I've been good. The other day I gave some people some things. I gave some money to the Salvation Army. You know those bell ringer people? You know, I always make sure I tuck a little bit of change in there whenever I go by. I'm going to heaven. I know God sees that, and it's going to make a difference. But the book says that you're going to have to be dressed properly to be in the banquet of the Lord. Now, you know, that could be perceived, and it says there that he told the servants, he said, grab him and throw him outside. And that's harsh. We don't even want to think about that, to think, well, you know, how could a God of mercy reject people and throw them out of heaven in that way? Well, you see, it is because of the truth and the power of the invitation. He's put it all here before us, church and folks. He's put it all here before us. See, we can hold on to lives of sin. We can hold on to our unrighteousness. We can hold on to everything that this world has to offer. Or we can release it and accept what the Lord has for us. And he's prepared a banquet before us. A banquet of glory and mercy. His power and grace. You say, well, does that mean I won't go through anything? No, I'm telling you the truth. It probably means you'll go through more stuff. But you won't go through it alone. And you'll go through it. It won't overpower you, but the power of God in you will overpower it. I love that when he said sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms us in the midst of the storm. But I guarantee you, the best life that you could possibly have will be found accepting the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, if you have never said yes to Jesus, I would invite you to say yes today. Why not today? Why wait? Today's the day of salvation, the scripture tells us. Why is that? Because we have no assurance of tomorrow. Today is the day to change your garments, to accept the wedding garment of righteousness of the Lord, and be ready. Now, see, this wasn't an unheard of thing. These people understood this completely. Because, see, what would happen when a young couple were betrothed to one another? The bridegroom would go away, and he would make the preparations. People would know that the wedding was going to take place, and they would anticipate it. They would begin to get ready for it. But then on the day when he was ready to go and get his bride, the announcement would be made and the bridegroom would come forth and would, in procession, make his way to where the bride was at. And he would take her from her father's home and take her, and they would celebrate and there would be glorious things. Well, see, that's exactly what is getting ready to take place. The Lord Jesus has gone into heaven. What did he say? I go to prepare a place for you. Wow. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why? So that where I am, there you can be also. Amen. And then we have that 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. It's just a little hint. It says, you know, at this ingathering, this banquet of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those who have accepted his invitation, we will be united with him for all of eternity. We'll rule and reign with Jesus. Ah, come on now. That's better than any old invitation to the White House or anything else. Going to get to go to God's house. A place. Now think about this. I got to quit, but think about it for just a moment. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and it's been 2,000 years. I mean, he spoke this world into existence in just a few days. And look at the glory. And now he's taken 2,000 years to prepare a place for us. Tell me it's not going to be pretty nice. Huh? Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that we can come together as a church and celebrate what you're doing in our lives. I thank you today for the healing that we have heard. I thank you today for your companionship that we have heard. I thank you today, Lord, for joy in the midst of trouble and distress. I thank you that we can say yes to your invitation even right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us to not ignore. Help us to not get so busy that we miss out. Because your invitations are not just to salvation, but to the fullness of your Spirit and your power in our lives. You have offered to us a faith and a trust that would go beyond anything that we could understand. I pray today that you would help each and every one of us to continue to say yes to your invitations. When you want to fill our lives with your Spirit, may we say, yes, Lord, come. When you want to use us in this world, may we say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. Knowing that you are just inviting us to a banquet of your presence. As we leave this house this morning, may we leave, oh, if we know you, and our garments have been changed into the righteous garments of the Lord Jesus, may we leave here stepping high, realizing that we're on our way to the banqueting table of the Lord. And may nothing that the enemy throws at us take our minds off of that. In Jesus' name, amen.